Good morning. Let's enter into a time of worship as we hear the prelude this morning. Welcome all of you this morning, and if you're visiting with us, we welcome you and invite you to worship with us again. We have several announcements this morning. I just have a few of them. This week, we'll have our church board meeting, so that's going to be on Tuesday. Executive meeting at 6:30 and the board meeting at 8 o'clock. The other announcements I want to turn your attention is at the bottom of your insert sheet, Piercing Word was going to be here. That's going to be next Sunday. We'll be presenting Sermon on the Mount. And so we invite you to bring your friends, and we hope I get a good turnout for that next Sunday. This time, we have several people who are going to have an announcement. I'll ask Susie to make her announcement first.
Thing. Trunk or Treat is going to be on the 27th, which that's in, 2 weeks, from 4 to 6. There are sign-ups for anything that you want to do for it. If you want to have food for it, if you want to do a trunk, or if you want to help, there's all kinds of sign-up sheets back on the table in the gathering place. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Susie. At this time, Megan has an announcement.
Good morning. We're really excited to be kicking off Operation Christmas Child this morning. There's some boxes back in the gathering area for you to pack your box with. The due date for the boxes will be November 11th. And we have a little video to show you about Operation Christmas Child. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Operation Christmas Child. Look forward to that. Lindsay has an announcement this morning.
Anybody that was willing to donate baked goods for the youth to sell at the consignment sale, they can be dropped off Friday morning, Friday anytime between 8 in the morning and 8 at night. Somebody will be here to accept those.
Okay, thank you. Any other announcements before we begin our worship? Let's all stand and let's turn to our hymnals to number 298 as we sing our opening hymn.
Dear God, be in the glory.
Join me in the responsive reading for the call to worship from Psalm 27, 1 through 4. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When he came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. God, we thank you and praise you that you have allowed us to come here this morning to worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship. We thank you that we live in a country where we have that freedom to worship you. We pray for the many people this morning, Lord, who are suffering from illnesses that keep them away from worship. We pray blessings upon them. And we lift up this service, this worship service to you right now, Lord. We pray that this would truly be a time set apart when we worship you. We pray that you open up our minds and our hearts to the leading of your Holy Spirit. Help us to know, Lord, that everything that we do in this time of worship should glorify you and the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that salvation and that free gift of salvation and redemption that we have through Jesus. And we just pray that this service would be pleasing to you. And we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This time we're going to enjoy special music from the Cherub Choir.
In every place. thank you, Chair Pryor, for that wonderful special music. Let's turn in our bulletins and read together the offertory thought and prayer. This is taken from the Psalms, three just in unison. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Let us pray. God, as we give our offerings and tithes to you this morning, Lord, we pray that we would do this with a good spirit, with a good attitude, as a cheerful giver. And God, we pray for all who have made their commitments to you and what we want to commit to you to give. We pray that you would bless these gifts. We pray that you would give us, Lord, faith to know that no matter how much we give, that you're always going to provide for us. We also need to know, Lord, that the greatest gift of all was given on the cross at Calvary, the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Bless this church, Lord, and the ministries of this church as we give these offerings to you. May it give us as a church wisdom to minister to those in need. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, children can be dismissed for children's church. And the officers can come forward, and let's turn to our hymnals to number 299, More Love to Thee. Before we have our morning prayer, I just want to say that we have been blessed this past week with revival services. Brother Jim Meyer really gave us some challenging and inspiring messages. We found out a little bit about George, why George goes to church. If you want to know what that's all about, just talk to someone who is here worship on Monday. He also gave a really good message on how the Bible changes lives, the importance of establishing a Christian home, talked about that, and how the Bible changes lives. So, and I mentioned that just because the revival services is over doesn't mean that it ends. It continues. Revival needs to continue here in the church. In your bulletins, you'll see an insert here on the number of people that we need to remember in prayer. You can go through that list and remember those in prayer. I want to give you an update on a few people that we've been praying for. Continue to pray for Mary Lineweaver, who is losing strength, but yet her spirit is still alive yet. She is there at Manor Care, where she stays. And Brenda Weyerbach had surgery this past week, extensive surgery over at Mechanicsburg. She's over at the hospital in West Shore Hospital in Mechanicsburg. So keep her in prayer as she recovers. We also found out that Pearl Fetter from the church here is also at Good Samaritan Hospital ICU. She had some fluid removed from her heart, so we need to keep her in prayer. And Grace Ziegler was in the hospital, but she's home now. They got her heart taken care of for the moment. Also, in your bulletins this week, we always want to remember a church in the district, to pray for a church in the district, and this week we're praying for the Harrisburg First Church of the Brethren. So our church of the week that we're praying for is Harrisburg First Church, and the long-run Church of the Brethren is praying for us. Let us come to our God this morning for a morning prayer. O God, we come to you as our one and only God. We thank you and praise you for all the blessings that you've given us, Lord God. And Lord, we pray for forgiveness for times when we're not appreciative of how you've blessed us. You blessed us with so much, Lord. You blessed us with eternal life through Jesus Christ. You bless us through our lives. We know, Lord, that we all have trials and tribulations and the everyday hassles and problems each day. But at the end of the day, Lord, we just need to be grateful and thankful for blessing us with so many blessings. We pray for forgiveness for times that we have sinned and times that we have bad attitudes, Lord, and a bad heart. We pray, we confess those times, Lord. And Lord, we all need to be in church today, because the Bible says, Lord, all have fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That includes all of us. And God, we're thankful for the revival services that we had here. And we pray, Lord, that we would take those messages into our hearts, Lord, and live them out, Lord, in our lives and in the life of the church. We pray, oh God, for the people listed this morning on the prayer concern list, for each one, for each name, for the situation that they face, for those facing illnesses. We lift them to you for healing. For those who have family problems, we lift them to you. We want to lift up Grace Ziegler this morning. We thank you that her heart issue is taken care of right now. We just pray, Lord, that you continue to watch over her and give her strength for each day. We pray for Mary Lineweaver, Lord, faithful sister of the Lord, who's failing in health right now. We pray that you give her and her family strength and and peace at this time. We want to lift up Brenda Weirbach, Lord, who's been through an extensive surgery this week. We pray for your healing and strength to be with her. Give her encouragement each and every day to know, Lord, that you're with her through anything that she faces. And we lift up Pearl Fetter to you right now for situation that she's facing in the hospital. We pray for your healing and your strength to be with her. And for any unspoken requests this morning, we lift them to you this morning, Lord. We all face these challenges each and every day. We pray for our church. We pray for our executive and board meeting that we would have, Lord, a spirit of unity and purpose in fulfilling the great commission of Jesus Christ, which is to make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Help us to know, Lord, that you go with us in anything that we face, Lord. We lift up our nation this morning to you, Lord. We lift up our president, and for those in Congress, we pray, Lord, that they would have a desire to live godly standards, to be the rulers, Lord, of our country that you want them to be. And we pray that we as a church, Lord, be the witness that you want us to be in our world and our society today. And this week, Lord, we want to lift up the Harrisburg First Church of the Brethren. We thank you for this church that's located in the urban area of Harrisburg and the ministry that they do. Thank you for the ministry. We pray that you uphold them, use them, bless the pastors and those who are leading that ministry. And we pray, Lord, that you continue to use them, Lord, in ministry. We pray now that you would open up our hearts and minds as we look into your holy word this morning, that would give us inspiration so that we might follow you. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. If you notice in the bulletin today, the sermon topic is entitled, How Much Time Do You Have? Now that may sound a little troublesome to you, but there's a reason why we have that passage this morning. And this morning I didn't have time to put together an insert sheet, so if you want to get out a pencil and pen and just jot down some notes, that would be good. Let's all get our Bibles out and turn with me to Psalm 90, Psalm chapter 90. Right in the middle of the Bible, you'll find the Psalms. This is a psalm of Moses, the writer. And I'll be reading from Psalm chapter 90, beginning in verse 9 through 17. Psalm 90, verses 9 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if reasoned by of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. May God add blessing in the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word, which is inspired without error. Honor your inspiration. And we pray, Lord, that we would gain understanding and insight so that we might be drawn closer to you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Back when I was a teenager at my home, my father had an old plow that he put in our backyard. It was one of those old plows that had handles on them with a wheel in the front. It was an old plow that dated back to the time when the farmers would plow with horses. And since I was such a young kid, I always thought that it looked kind of stupid to have that in our backyard. I was thinking, why would we have this old plow sitting in our backyard in the middle of town? And then one day, my father told me why. He told me why he had that old plow. He said it gave him pleasant memories as a child when his father would plow with horses on the farm. Now, I have my own pleasant memories with one of my own toys. I used to have a red 1966 Ford Mustang toy about like this big. Red Mustang. It was given to me when at Christmas when I was a child. And I kept that for years and years and years. And then one day I made the mistake of giving that to Daniel and Benjamin to play with, and now my 1966 Mustang is history. That was a while ago that I gave it to them. I know they wouldn't break it now, but they did then. But that's okay. It's okay. Because I know that nothing in this world lasts forever. That includes the good memories as well as the bad memories. God is in charge of our time. If you look at the text for today, the psalmist writer talks about time. In fact, if you go back to Psalm 39, verses 4 to 5, the Bible says, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am, and my age is as nothing before you, God. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. That's Psalm 39, 4 to 5. The writer of the psalm is showing us the frailty of our lives when you compare it to God's time and eternity. And if you look at Psalm 90, our psalm for today, this psalm talks about God's everlasting time, which no one can change. Look what he says in verse 2. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now that is a refreshing verse. No matter what happens to us, no matter what we see in the world today, no matter how much evil we find, we can be assured from everlasting to everlasting, God is God. And our lives are nothing but vapor. Now that might sound pessimistic, but it is true. None of us knows how many days we're going to have. None of us knows how many years we're going to live. We are all in God's time. We're all in God's hand. Now, the only indication we have in Scripture of how long we're going to live is found in Psalm 90, verse 10. Perhaps you know what that says. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80. So if you're over 80 years old, you're doing pretty good, according to the psalmist writer. But only the Lord has the last say in how many years we will live in this life. And because our lives are in God's hands, because we don't know how much time we have, the psalmist writer says we need wisdom. We need wisdom from God concerning our years. And that's the main point of today's scripture text. Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain what? A heart of wisdom. A heart of wisdom. So wisdom here refers to our time compared to God's timing. Now the first point, if you want to jot this down, God knows everything about us, which includes our sin. God knows everything about us, which includes our sin. Psalm 90, verse 8 says, "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance." In other words, that tells us that you can't escape God. No one can escape God. Nothing that we do in our lives are hidden from God. Don't think that you can hide from God. You might be able to hide from other people, hide what you're doing, whatever, but you can't hide from God. Our lives are an open book to God, which will include our sins as well. Psalm 44, verse 21 should speak to all of us. It says, "For he that is God knows the secrets of the heart." He knows the secrets of our hearts. Now, why would God want to show us our sins, our iniquities? We know that it's all forgotten. But yet, in the text of the Old Testament, there was this idea, this motivation that we all need to fear God, have a fear for God, have a reverence for God. Now, the fear of God is something that people today might not like, might be not a very popular topic, but God has his ways. He does that in order to teach us lessons. And this is the difference between people today and the people of the Old Testament, the Israelites in the Old Testament. The people in the Old Testament, and in this case in Psalms, they wanted to escape God's wrath. They wanted to escape God's wrath, therefore they changed their ways in order to please God. Their ultimate desire was to please God. That's how they lived each day. Now, people today don't even want to think about the wrath of God. And that's bad, because sometimes that means you have some people who are living as though God doesn't exist. You know, too many people live as though God doesn't exist, and they believe that God's wrath is some cruel topic that no one wants to talk about. But on the other hand, if you know what pleases God, you'll do the things that please him, and you should not complain about it. Complaining is not a good thing. I used to complain a lot when I was a kid, just talk to my sisters and brothers. I'm the youngest in the family. One of the things that I constantly complained about, other than taking long trips in a car, was eating out. I used to never like to eat out as a kid. I always wanted to stay at home. I thought my mom did a great job cooking, and I just wanted to stay home and eat. But I didn't like to eat out. And so whenever we would go out to eat, no one wanted to take me along because I complained so much. I'd whine and complain every time I go into a restaurant. And so, you know, who would want a whiny kid in a restaurant? So one day, there was this Chinese restaurant that we would go to in Philly. Every once in a while, my parents would splurge and they'd take us all out to this Chinese restaurant in Philly. And of course, I didn't want to go there. I was scared to go there. I was scared. And I'll tell you why I was scared. Everyone in my family told me that if I didn't eat all my food on my plate, this Chinese guy would come and chop off my head. They said, "That's what happens when you order chop suey." So every time we go to this restaurant, this Chinese restaurant, I just sit there. And I look around the restaurant all scared, looking for something that resembles an axe. And I just sit at the table and be quiet and still. And I wouldn't say a word. Didn't say a word. And every time I'd see one of those Chinese waiters go by, I'd pretend I was enjoying my food when I wasn't enjoying my food at all. And I'd sit at the table and not say a word because I was scared. And then one day, eventually, I found out that my family was telling me a fib. You know, that wasn't true. I wasn't going to get my head chopped off from this Chinese guy if they didn't eat my food. And I said, why did you do that to me? Why'd you say that to me? They said, it's the only way to get you to stop complaining when we're eating out. Not the best way to discipline your kids, by the way. Don't threaten them like that. But think about that. God uses that strategy to get people to obey him. God says, if you don't straighten up, you're going to receive my wrath. This is what the psalmist is telling us. Look at Psalm 90, verse 11. Who knows the power of your anger, for as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So the people of God knew that there was no future for them if they continued in their ways, if they continued to sin, which caused his wrath. Now, the second point is much better. God shows his wrath in order to lead us to his mercy. God shows his wrath in order to lead us to his mercy. When the Israelites saw God's wrath, they desired his mercy. They cried out to God. They cried out for his mercy. They wanted God more. They wanted nothing else in their lives but to see God's mercy and love. Psalm 90, verse 14. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. The writer here is pleading for God to show him mercy. He's pleading for God's mercy. When have you done that? When have you pleaded for God's mercy? You know, everybody today is looking for satisfaction and love. But true satisfaction and love can only be found in God's mercy. Have you seen God's mercy lately? If it would not be for God's mercy, none of us would be here. None of us would be here because an all-powerful God can do some great things. He can do some great things. If you know all about God and his mercy, you should be living a happy life. But do we allow our everyday problems to take away our happiness in God? You know, every evening before I go to sleep, I silently say my prayers to God when I'm in bed. And I always seem to say the same thing to God every night. Thank you, God, for blessing me. Thank you, God, for blessing me. Thank you, God, for family. Thank you for a home. Thank you that I have enough to live on and for others. And I ask for forgiveness for taking my blessings for granted. I have no other testimony in prayer than that. With every trial I face, with every challenge I see, I always seem to say thank you to God for blessing me in the end because of his mercy. God's love wins out in the end. We can say that. God's love wins out in the end. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So all this bad news about the wrath is brought through Jesus Christ. We're saved from that. We're saved from that wrath through Jesus. That's good news. Are you sure today that you have that hope of Jesus in your life? The more I talk to people today and listen to people talk, the more I see that there are too many people who are living in fear. We fear many things. People fear the future. People fear what will happen to our society. They fear our world. They fear the church. They fear what's going to happen to their family. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in fear. I don't want to live in that fear. Instead, I choose to trust God. I choose to trust God over anything else I find in this world. Can you trust him today? The psalmist writer talks about their fears of God's wrath upon them. But then they say what they wanted. Look at Psalm 90, verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long, and have compassion on your servants. They said, God, return to us. They're talking about the times when God blessed them. They're talking about the days when God was doing some great things. They're saying, take us back to the good old days. You know, we find that phrase, don't we? Take me back to the good old days. That's what they're saying here. The psalmist says this. And Psalm 85, verse 6, the Bible says, will you, God, not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? But when it comes to revival, God will not revive us if we're not willing to move with him. We need to be willing to move with him. There needs to be some work. There needs to be some action on our part if we want God to do the good things that he's done. There needs to be some commitment. There needs to be some confession of sin and wrongdoing. There needs to be this action of moving with God. Notice what the psalmist says in the last verse, and this is where the action is. Psalm 90, verse 17. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of what? Our hands. I found that interesting. Establish, God, the work of our hands. In fact, he says that phrase twice. Establish the work of our hands. He says, God, do your work through our hands. Through our hands. That is our response to God. That's our work for God. We want to see God do some great miracles and wonders. We all want that. But yet God has to also work through us as believers through the hands of what we do. And we can all be assured that God will bless any work that's done with our hands. But the work needs to be led by the Holy Spirit. So as we leave here today, this is what you can think about. As you leave here this morning, ask God to lead you through some work. Ask God to lead you through some work that's for God's glory, through his hands. He wants to use us. Remember what Jesus says in Matthew 5:16. He says not to sit idly by, but he says, let your light shine before me so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. He's talking about outreach. So think about and ask yourself for God, does my light shine for Jesus? Can God use me? Let us pray. God, we thank you and praise you that you have given us an example through Jesus Christ. And God, we thank you for the example that you have shown us through the work that he has done. And God, each one of us here today, we believe, are called to be led by you to do some kind of work through our hands, but it must begin in our hearts. I pray for anyone this morning, Lord, whose heart needs to be changed, Lord, that you would cause them, Lord, to make that change today. And if anyone this morning, Lord, has never made a commitment to you, that they would do that to you today. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you for all the goodness that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all turn to our closing hymn, number 236. Wonderful, wonderful hymn of invitation, just a closer walk with thee. And this morning, if you want to make a commitment to the Lord or if you have a prayer need, I invite you to come forward as we sing our closing hymn, just a closer walk with thee. Would you stand, please? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.